If you're looking for a podcast that talks about games, gaming issues, games in the media, anime, or anything like that, you've come to the right podcast. Welcome to 100% Real with Small Time Gamers. Here are your hosts.
And welcome to the podcast. I am your host, Drake. My co-host today is the Incog. Go and say hi.
Hey guys, how's it going? How you doing?
And today we have a special guest. Our special guest is Kaijiro Maeda. He's a returning special guest for us. You want to go and say hi, Kaijiro?
Hey guys, what's going on?
And it's great to have you on the episode with us today, Kaijiro. I know this this topic that we're going to talk about today is something that we all used to play, and I know you've had a little bit more experience with this game more than I have. I don't know about Incog, but today's topic is going to be about the first gen of Pokemon. That's the Red, Blue, and Yellow. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience with the game, Kaijiro?
I enjoyed playing it. It was fun. When I was playing it, I only played it on the side. But I've actually beaten them, but didn't really. It was more of a long of just having fun kind of thing. It was a first gen, so it was just fun as hell. The first time it popped up.
All right, Incog, I know you've played this as well, the first three games. How was your, what's your experience with it?
I still remember when everything first started happening. I unfortunately wasn't able to play it as soon as it came out, but I had a cousin who had the game, and I would play on his little system. And I enjoyed it. I finally got my own Game Boy and game maybe a few months later. I think it was a Christmas gift or something like that. And, it was hard for me to put it down.
Yeah, and I've had the same experience. I got Red, and my brother got Blue, and we were playing our games. And I remember just having a blast. And, when Game Boy Color was popular, and those would just come out too, so they were super expensive. I don't know if you guys ever had a Game Boy Color.
I didn't get one till later. I played all three of those games. Old fat Game Boy. That was just tons of fun. Not knowing what color you get.
Yeah, I remember you going through a lot of batteries with the old Game Boy.
Oh yeah, and then I couldn't play at night because I couldn't see nothing.
Oh man, none of us could play at night. Those things didn't have an actual good light LCD screen. Those you had to buy adapters for them.
Yeah, it was called like the glow worm or something like that, where you attach it to the side and a little bit of light. Still,
yeah,
just enough to not screw up your eyes.
Yeah, pretty much. And or if you're traveling, you would just have to wait for the little streetlight just to get just enough right above the car. That way you could see where you were going. Yep. Like I said, those were good times. And now it's completely different. You got the Nintendo Switch. They're on the Nintendo DS. I mean, they have, actual LED screens. They light up. So, and of course, you don't have to use batteries anymore because you just plug it into the wall. But you can't beat the old Game Boy. I mean, it's a classic. And pretty much I know if I remember correctly, Kaijiro, you had Pokemon Yellow, if I remember correctly, the one with the Pikachu on it.
Yeah.
And Incog, which game did you have
out of the series? I want to say, actually, I'm very honestly, I think the very first Pokemon game I got was Silver. And then after that is when I went to the old one. I went back and played, I think it was Red, is what I got.
All right, so you went back and played the one with Charizard on it, the red one.
Yeah, I was a huge fan of, the fire-based creatures, and so I figured Red would have the most of them, and sadly, there was a couple of ones on there that I didn't get to have.
Nah, that's understandable. That was my first one, too. I ended up playing... Red. I ended up playing with Charizard, and of course my brother had Blue, which would have Blastoise on it. But I'm not sure if you guys know, but when this series was originally released in Japan, there was no, if I remember correctly, no blue. It was green. And it was, no, there was a blue. It was no yellow. It was green. It was pretty much Venusaur. So I had the first three original Pokemon, the Blastoise, Charizard, and the Venusaur. And like I said, I just wanted to let you guys know, if you guys didn't know, that was in Japan. So we never got to see the Pokemon Green, but we ended up seeing Pokemon Yellow, which Kaiju, can you tell us a little bit more about it? Because I know you have more experience with it.
Yellow was just there was a lot of different things about Yellow. Just the main part was that you got Pikachu instead of one of the red starters. It pretty much kind of kept you close to the story of the whole thing, but there wasn't a lot of difference. Just the starter made a big difference, but you still met all the same characters, the same characters, but you had a Pikachu following you everywhere. Some people would, I heard like stories, people who had Yellow would trade their Pikachu away to do something else with it, just so they would have a different Pokemon. And there was just a whole lot of weird stories and just dumb stories. And I'm not quite sure why anybody would trade a Pokemon that was made for, but. Yeah, the story really wasn't different from the other ones. I played the other ones as well, and the only difference was the starter. There wasn't the main difference. It was just where playing with the Pikachu at first. And
if I remember correctly, correct me, that Pikachu would, you would be able to see the facial expressions of the Pikachu, if I remember correctly, when you wanted to, when it was walking behind you, correct?
Yeah, you could just look at him or type, push the button and talk to him, and he would show you a little face of what was going on. I didn't do that quite often, but every time I did it, he looked upset, and I didn't know what to do. he was always mad, and I kept trying to help him. I just didn't know what I was doing wrong, so I just kept playing.
Showed him no love. That's what it was.
I showed him plenty of love. That little dude got to fight all the time, and he got all the food he wanted.
Well,
I never did him.
Yeah. And I know from pretty much my experience with Red, and then of course I got to play Blue a little bit. It was completely different, and I mean it was great. I enjoyed it. I did notice, I don't know if Incog noticed, but when you played Red or you played Blue, there was a light color tint to the game for that game that you were playing. So if you were playing Blue, it was a slight blue tint. If you were playing Red, it was a slight red tint. Did you notice that, Incog?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty neat. I thought it was actually pretty neat, considering the fact that they, you know, at the time, especially when it comes to Game Boys, you know, having color was amazing. It was like the most high tech thing you could have on a handheld device, because before that, everything was like either like a green or black and gray or black and white type of situation.
Yeah, and
that's one thing I never noticed that, because I never had any color. Oh, it's so sad.
Yeah, I noticed that only due to the fact that when I would play it, I would see that it was just a slightly different color, but it was it was great, because you got to, you know, you're like, oh, I'm playing Blue. Okay, then I'm going to have a slight blue tint to the game. And then, of course, because it was a Game Boy Color, because it was originally meant for the original Game Boy. So it was meant to be a little bit more black and white than anything else. All right. Now, of course, obviously, Kaijudo, he played Yellow. You had Pikachu as your starter Pokemon. Incog, what about you? What was your... I kind of have an idea of, I know what starter Pokemon you picked, but can you tell us what starter Pokemon you picked when you first started the game?
Believe it or not, I did not go with Charizard. I didn't go with Charmander. I went with Bulbasaur. When I first started up, like I said, I mean, I did play Silver first, but I'm going to go ahead and revert to the original three. When I first started playing the Red version I had, I went with Bulbasaur first, and then I can't remember what happened, but I think I got stuck at some point where I ended up restarting my game completely. I mean, I had only gone maybe 2-3 gyms in, and I decided I wanted to go with Squirtle instead, so I ended up finishing the game with Squirtle first.
Yeah, it happens that way, and at least you got a Pokemon that can be at least beat Brock, the very first gym leader, because I know it was difficult trying to beat with Pikachu when you.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I mean.
I think I fought that first gym like 5 times.
Yeah,
and it wasn't even that hard when I actually got a Pokemon to fight by him. I just felt like I was robbed of all the time that it took me.
Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous, you know, for Yellow, because you started off with just Pikachu, and so then you had to actually catch another Pokemon for sure in order to beat it. And my first Pokemon, when I first started, not knowing, I had picked Charmander, because he was the fire one, and so I was like, yeah, sure, I'll pick him. And I got my butt handed to me the very first time I went to the gym, and I was like, maybe I should have picked water. So, I mean, I felt your experience with that, you know, and I did, like I said, I probably should have gone with Squirtle starting off, but I didn't. So, I mean, that was my mistake, but just like Kaijo said, you catch Pokemon who can kind of battle the rock type, and you're good to go afterwards. All right.
Mm-hmm.
After that, what was kind of like your party as you went through? That's my next question, is what kind of Pokemon would you have in your party as you're going through the game?
I actually tried to have one of each. I had a Pikachu, of course. I got myself a Magikarp. It took a long time to level him up, but once I did, he was my favorite one. I had a Pidgey. My last three kept changing over and over because I changed the last three according to where I was in the game. I believe once I got a Ghost, it stayed there, and then the last two would be the ones that would change over and over, because every single time I went somewhere else, there was another type of Pokemon that I had to use instead of the one that I had, so the last two would always switch over and over. Eventually, I did keep, of course, you know, you get to a point in the game where you can catch stronger Pokemon. I did keep one of them. My original team, the first three were always a Pikachu, a Magikarp, a Pidgey. So that was a weird combination.
All right. It sounds like you had a weird combination, but it's understandable why you would have Pikachu up front. He was your very first. And then, of course, you had the Pidgey just in case you had to. I know for me, it would be if you had to fly anywhere. I mean, you could fly once you got the HM for it, the hidden machine.
Yeah.
Incog, what about you? How was your party going through the game, and how did it evolve eventually to where you were able to, you know, beat the Elite Four and stuff like that?
I mean, for the most part, I did what most, you know, first timers do. I think this is why I ended up having to restart my game altogether. Is I basically leveled up my starter, and pretty much only my starter, to the point where, like, none of my other Pokemon could do any good anywhere. So, I mean, my party changed several times, but I think my most successful party was, especially getting through to the first 8 gyms. Is of course my starter, and then I'd grab, you know, like you said, a flying Pokemon.
Okay.
And then I had I usually had one Pokemon where, you know, all my HMs and TMs went into that one, because, you know, back then, once you taught one of them an HM, you know, there was no forgetting that. So I had like one Pokemon just strictly dedicated for stuff like that. It was that way I wouldn't have to waste any, like, move slots on any of my other Pokemon. But like, I'd have a Pidgey that could fly and stuff, and then I have one rock Pokemon that knew all the moves for, like, the ground as far as push and things like that, or strength and rock smash and things like that. But yeah, my party kind of just evolved as I went, as far as, you know, and then I'd go and do what most people do, or I believe most people did, which is, you know, I picked the ones that I think were my favorite. Growlithe, Ponyta, Gyarados, Geodude. My all-time favorite was, of course, Haunter. mostly because I could never trade him for a game to get Gengar. But after a while, I got to the point where that's all I wanted. And then I think my final spot I always made sure I had enough for. I mean, if you've played the Pokemon games, you know how much of a pain this is. But I would get enough coins from the game center, get a Dratini.
Oh, that thing was a nightmare to get from the game center.
I never got that from the game center.
I would have to get to the Dragonair, and I would leave it at Dragonair. I've never been a fat. I understand Dragonite is one of the most stronger creatures in the game, but I mean, Dragonair is just my favorite.
No, I can't blame you. I mean, the Dragonair is pretty awesome. It has a nice slick body, and of course, it's pretty strong. I mean, it's a dragon. Of course, as you said, you would, you know, collect all those coins for the game center, and you would get it. How about you, Kaijudo? How would you get your Dragonair?
I never got a Dragonair, actually.
Or Dragtini, pretty much.
I never got any one of those, actually.
You never got any one of those?
Yeah. I gave up on trying to get the coins, but I was always getting really close, and all of a sudden I would just start losing in a long stream of just sadness. So I just gave up on trying to catch one. When I think I did come close to catching one, like for real, it was actually in the game, and I was like, oh, sweet, there's one. But then it somehow managed to die, and I wasn't even trying to hurt it that bad, but I attacked it once, and it was a critical hit, and it was gone, and I didn't get any.
Because I know for me, because as you guys know, Kaito used to play Pokemon too, and I used to have I used to have competitions with him to see who was the better trainer, and so we would be playing the game at the same time and just basically leveling our Pokemon, so that way eventually we could battle each other. He had Pokemon Yellow, I had Red, and so we would pretty much get, you know, be like, oh, I'm right here, where are you at? And then we will battle up to a certain point and then be like, okay. And then we let, you know, just keep playing the game. And then a couple days will pass, ask, hey, where are you at? And we'll battle again. Well, when we got to Safari Zone, that became super interesting. He had the guide. He knew where the Pokemon were going to be at. He knew how to catch, where to catch Pokemon at in the Safari Zone. If you're looking for specific ones, and he was the one that told me where you could catch a Dratini in the original games. It was you catch him in the Safari Zone, but you have to fish. And your percentage was like super low. And I mean like super, super low. It was like a 0.1, like 0.01% chance of catching one on a fishing rod. But you would have to literally spend time and time and time just fishing for it. So basically, Incog, your way was a lot faster than what my way was of catching it in the Safari Zone. So it was kind of ridiculous. So I spent a lot of time trying to catch one, and sometimes they would just run away and I wouldn't be able to catch them. So for anybody that was listening and wants to, that is playing the original games and is having, it's wanting a Dragtini or Dragonite or Dragonair, just get it from the game center. Just collect the coins and you'll get it a lot easier. And I believe they also, at that game center, they also had a, what was it, a Polygon, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, Polygon, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't remember because I thought they had one, but I wasn't sure. What else did they have there? I can't remember exactly, because I know it was a Dragtini was like the main one, and then it was a Polygon, and then it was something else.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Dragtini and the Polygon are the ones that you really use the center for. I'm drawing a blank. Let me I'm trying to remember.
I'm trying to remember too. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I can't remember. I want to say Mr. Mime, but it doesn't sound right. But I know I used to spend so much time just playing, you know, trying to get, like I said, because I wasn't very good at the gambling, so
I didn't gave up trying to figure out which one it was. I had to it up. Let's see. In Red, you had Abra, Clefairy, Nidorina, Dratini, Scyther, and Porygon. And the Porygon was 9,999. In Blue, you had Abra, Clefairy, Nidorino, Dratini, and Pinsir. And Porygon was 6,500. And then in yellow, you had Abra, Vulpix, Wigglytuff, Scyther, Pinsir, and of course the Porygon. And that one was at 99 as well.
Okay.
That's the one I got.
Yeah, so it was still the.
The only one I ever got was the Vulpix.
I couldn't get any one.
I got enough. I was getting quite a bit, and then I lost everything, and I decided just to get one before I ran out of like, coins. I didn't feel like staying there forever because I had already been playing the game for, say, about 3 days straight in that freaking game center because I kind of forgot I was playing a whole other game. I felt like I was just playing gambling, trying to get coins. And I told myself I had to get out of there, so I ended up just getting a Vulpix. But I wanted something.
All right, and like I said, I sucked at that game, so I couldn't get anything. I think the most I got was like an Abra out of there. But
I'll be honest, I bought coins. I didn't even gamble. I'd go out, buy a bunch of stuff, or find a bunch of rare items, sell it, or win a bunch of battles, and come back with the money and buy the coins and keep going until I got the coins I needed. All
right, and well, I don't think I ever mentioned my team that I like to use during the game. We kind of got sidetracked on that one, but for my team, I always like to have one fire one. So since I always had Charizard, that was my fire one. I like to have a bird one just in case I needed to fly anywhere. Of course, water, that way if I needed to surf. So I always had a Lapras because the game would give you a free Lapras, so I would take Lapras. And then I always had one electric, and I like to use the either a Jolteon or a Pikachu. And when the anime was out and I saw Pikachu, I was like, oh, I catch Pikachu in the Viridian Forest. So I would literally go and spend my time catching a Pikachu in the Viridian Forest. And what else? I always had my Butterfree, just in case I needed to put anybody to sleep or poison them or anything like that. And I think my last one was just a random, didn't matter what it was, it was just whatever Pokemon you cut. That was pretty much it.
And my Pokemon that I used surf was my Gyarados after I finally evolved him. That was my Magikarp.
Yeah.
He was my best friend.
And like I said, that was my team going in, and I never had any problems. And like I said, me and Kaito would battle so much, and I didn't win a lot of those, I'll put it that way. But for you guys, I know Incog said that he had a hard time trying to trade Pokemon. How hard was it for you guys to trade Pokemon? Because like I said, I know Incog, you said you would be stuck with a Haunter because you couldn't really trade. But what about the other Pokemon? Were you able to find anybody to trade? You know, like a Graveler to evolve them into a Golem or anything like that?
I actually got that done, but I didn't get to trade that often.
Okay, so trading was kind of rare for you then, due to the fact that you were limited to using the cable in order to be able to transfer Pokemon back and forth.
Oh yeah, that cable was irritating.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a nightmare. And of course, since I had both copies, and like a friendless loser, I would use one Game Boy and then use my brother's Game Boy to trade Pokemon between Red and Blue in order to be able to get the Pokemon I wanted. I don't know if any of you guys ever did that.
I mean, I know I did. Like I said, trading was non-existent for me as far as the trading friend to friend. I did, the only trades I did were the in-game trades where you had to find the NPCs and trade them for certain things.
Oh yeah, I remember those guys.
Yeah, I remember them when you can get Farfetch. But other than that, so pretty much trading was non-existent for Incog, and then for you, Kaijudo, it was kind of hard due to being limited to just that wire, and I feel your pain. I was having that same issue as well.
Yeah, I grew up with like four siblings, and none of them played this game because I was the only one who ever played it. I only ever got the trade with either you or your brother whenever we had a chance, and that didn't come around often because I was always either, well, one, my game was either at home because I didn't take it with me, or the batteries died, so I had to get a new set. And oh my god, those batteries would die so fast.
Oh my goodness, they always died so fast. There was no way to keep those batteries alive. But I do remember that, and it was, like I said, it was interesting, you know, doing the trading and stuff like that. And it was hard. It really was, just to get the Pokemon. So here's my next question for you guys is, how was it, I guess, because we're getting away from the trading now, because we already know it's kind of hard to, it was just difficult, period, just to trade. But did you guys ever get to experience the battling in the game? Like the actual, like, battling other players? Not like the NPCs, but actual, like, people.
I mean,
I don't think I battled anybody until probably whenever, or was it Pokemon Stadium that they add that little adapter on your game to put your Game Boy game on there and you get to battle with them?
Yeah, the for the Nintendo 64, if I remember correctly, they had that little expansion pack underneath.
Yeah, that was the only time I really got to battle another player, and it was all right, but I never really got the... I had fun, but it wasn't like so much fun to where I was upset if I didn't get to. It was a little, I got to have some fun and play around, but it was something that didn't come around quite often. All
right. Well, what about you, Incog?
I mean, I honestly didn't get to do my first person-to-person battle until, oh, gosh, it was way later. I think it was a later generation. It was a Nintendo DS that I got to, when I first started using like Wi-Fi and stuff like that. That's when I was able to have my first actual battle with somebody.
Oh wow! And
got to the point like it, at that point, you know, trainers were getting to the point where they were being very competitive. They were doing IV training, grinding, things like that. And yeah, I was a simple little trainer. I just wanted to beat the game, man.
All right, now that Incog kind of brings that item up, how difficult was it for you guys to beat the game?
It took a while, but I was able to beat it. I had a lot of fun beating the game. I know I beat Yellow, and I did play Red once, and I beat that one, but it took a while as well. I never quite beat Blue because I stopped playing after a while. But by the time I got those, it was like old. Everyone was playing the new ones.
No, it's understandable. As you said, by the time you got to them, they're already old. I mean, you had Gold and Silver, Crystal, and then of course you had the remakes of Fire Red, Leaf Green, and I forgot what Blue was called, but I mean, you had those remakes for the Game Boy Advance, and then of course when the DS came out, you had Diamond, Platinum, I can't even remember all the Pokemon ones. But Incog, what about you?
There was a Crystal, I know that.
Yeah, that was for the second gen.
I say there was Gold and Silver, and then later on they came back with I think it was Platinum.
It was Gold, Silver, and then Crystal, which had
Crystal. I'm sorry. Yeah. And then after that it was Emerald and Sapphire.
Yeah.
And then there was Ruby and I can't remember the other one.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it was Emerald, Ruby, and Sapphire was the next gen.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just kept going.
So now the question is, and then of course you had the one with what was it? It was the next three, the ones with the time, space, and pretty much Pokemon Hell, with Giratina. Can't remember them. Because that one was Platinum, and then I can't remember the other two. I want to say Diamond and Pearl.
Pearl.
Yeah, that's what I want to say. Yeah, I want to say it was Diamond and Pearl.
So many.
But my question to you, Incog, is how difficult was it for you to beat the game, just the first gen?
Now I'm gonna ask this question. We discussed this beforehand. When you say beat the game, are you considering the slogan "Gotta Catch 'Em All," or just beating the Elite Four and, you know,
no,
that
just
sort of thing?
Just beating the Elite Four, because the catching them all isn't really. It's a more of like the side quest, if you wanted to. We're talking about the actual main storyline. How hard was it to beat the game?
I mean, it had its moments. I mean, there were times where, you know, I mean, I feel like it was balanced enough to make it intense if you even like if you're playing even to your top tier, you know, there was moments where even like if you had the best team and you spent days grinding even before you hit the objective. Like, the game itself kept you within a certain balance. Like, the idea of, you know, you can't control Pokemon up to this level unless you have a badge. Like, that prevented people from going out and just grinding one Pokemon to, like, level 99 and then wiping out the gems with it. So, I mean, I feel like the game itself balanced the trainers out pretty well to the point where, like, even if you had a good, strong team, like, say, for instance, when you go and battle Team Rocket, you know, they chain you. I mean, yes, they're weak, but they chain you into one battle after another to the point where you have to think about when you're going to use your items, how you're going to use them. And, you know, it's like, even though you have your strong team, it's still a challenge. So, I mean, there's parts of the game and the storyline where, you know, some of them, you know, I breeze through, and other ones I'm not ashamed to say, I'm pretty sure everybody's had this instance before where, you know, all your Pokemon, you know, you make one mistake and all your Pokemon faint, and now you're having to try to redo it again.
Yeah, I remember that, especially when you got to Elite Four, and if you got all the way to Lance, and if you lost him, you had to start all over again. So mad. But
yeah, that was a bit unnerving. And I mean, if you failed once at the Elite Four, and like you said, if you got to Lance, or even if you got to like the third one and you failed, and then, you know, you restart and you're finally realizing, oh wait, I gotta fight all of them again. Like, even though you know that, yeah, I went through the first two pretty easy, you know, it's still in the back of your head, like, oh, I gotta go to do it again. Or, you know, you have the idea of, okay, I'm gonna need this many items because this is how much resources I went through. So, yeah, I mean, it gets pretty unnerving sometimes, especially, like you said, if you get to Lance and you're like, he wipes you, and you're like, oh god, I gotta go through all that again.
And then what got me was, he had a level 50 Dragonite. Dragonite evolves at 55. He cheated. He cheated.
Yeah.
I called Poppycock on that one. He cheated. That's so bad. Like, if my Dragonair is going to evolve at 55, it should be at 55 too. Screw that.
Okay, here's my question to you. As strong as that Dragonite was, did you really want him to be five more levels stronger?
Yes.
I don't think it was the fact of that. I think it was more along the principle. How did he get so special where he had one that was weak?
Damn it.
Was weaker than the other one.
Like, if I can't have one, he shouldn't have one. That was my thing when I went to go fight him. And it was just ridiculous. I was just like, how are you going to have a level 50 Dragonite, but yet I have to train mine to level 55 in order to get him to evolve? That is bullcrap. I was like, that is so unfair. But it was whatever. I still beat him. I brought out my Lapras and used Blizzard, and they all pretty much died because they were weak against it.
So I'm gonna take us a little off subject for a second. I typed this into a search. I have this set up to switch back and forth to different things. And someone points out the fact that the rival in the Gold and Silver and Crystal series had a level 16 Croconaw when Totodile evolves at level 18.
Oh, I thought he evolved at level 16, if I remember correctly.
I mean, I can honestly do a quick double check, but
yeah, I could have sworn he evolves at level 16, because all the starter Pokemon evolve at level 16.
Nope, right here. Evolves into Croconaw at level 18, and then into Feraligatr at level 36. I'm sorry, 30. My eyes went wonky.
I could have sworn it was level 16, because I had one that evolved at level 16.
I'm looking right at the web page.
No, I'm telling you, because I had one when I used to play Gold and Silver.
I know, but he's telling you because he's looking on the... He's right there online.
Online, looking at the Pokedex.
That doesn't seem right, because I, like I said, in my game, he evolved to 16.
You're a hacker like Glance, I don't know.
I guess. I guess like so. That's my game messed up or something.
I mean, it's not the first to be unheard of, and I'm going to go ahead and move us to the next subject. How many people, and I'm asking, of course, you two, and then also any listeners, how many of y'all did the unknown glitch?
I did, and everyone in my game. That's what made me start over.
Yeah, I would not catch it or recommend catching it unless you want your Hall of Fame to look all messed up and glitchy. So definitely do not catch it.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not going to lie. I wanted those 999 Master Balls, so yes, I did. You know, I did use the unknown glitch a few times.
I'm not going to lie. I did it too.
I did it for the Master Ball as well, and every Pokemon I caught was with a Master Ball.
So, yeah, if you do these games again for nostalgia reasons or whatever the case may be, don't catch the unknown. it's not a good day for you.
Don't catch do missing number.
Time, and don't save your game. Just save it before you even try it, and then do it. See how fun it is. See how messed up you got your game, and then just turn it off and start over. Because even after I restarted, I went back and I did it again, but I did what I just said. I saved it before. That way I can wonder, is it worth it?
Yeah, because it's not worth it. It's not worth a messed up game. I will say that. But I only didn't use it for just the Master Ball. I used it for the Rare Candy. So, yeah. I had some pretty strong Pokemon, but I realized really quick that even if you use the Rare Candy, their stats sometimes don't go up, or if they do, they don't go up as high as you actually train them. So that was the competition that me and Kaito would constantly have, was who had the stronger Pokemon. Especially once, you know, kind of a spoiler, once you beat the game, you get Mewtwo. And so we would have competition of whose Mewtwo was a lot stronger. And so we would just go back and forth. And of course, ended up being that he had the stronger Mewtwo. I don't know why, but he just had the stronger one compared to mine. So,
RNG for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part, I would get dominated every single time. I was like, oh, dear Lord. And so here's my next question for you guys. I'm not sure if you heard, but of course you guys know that Mew, the original Mew, which is what Mewtwo's cloned from. He wasn't originally supposed to be in the game. That key wasn't even supposed to exist.
Yeah, I remember that.
All right.
I mean, I don't recall that, but I do remember in the Next Generation, the rumors that they had as far as like how to get different legendaries. And I mean, looking back now, some of them are pretty bad, and I can't believe I fell for a couple. But as far as the information about me, you know, I think I missed that one.
Yeah. There was a. The reason why it became so big was Mew was, when they created the game originally, there was just enough space for one more Pokemon. Of course, Mewtwo was number 150. So, one of the game designers kind of snuck in Mew without the approval of the actual company. So, no one knew other than him that there was a Mew code written into the actual game. So, there was a Mew Pokedex entry. But there was no Mew, technically, not without glitching the game. And so people were glitching the game and discovering that there was a Mew. So when it came to light that what he had done, they officially announced that there was 150 Pokemon. So that's where Mew came in. And Nintendo would literally, if you would send them your copy, they would code Mew in so that way you could catch him officially in the game. I don't know if you guys ever heard about that.
I heard, but never did.
But yes, because there were so many rumors that Mew was underneath the truck, that you could, you know, do all this other stuff. But at the end of the day, Mew, unless Nintendo put him into your game, he wasn't technically in there unless you glitched the game. And it's like really kind of about timing when you glitch the game in order to be able to catch Mew.
No, I glitched the game.
Oh. And if you're like me, you basically got the Game Shark back then. Because you know, you could just put in whatever code you wanted, and you could just use the Game Shark to catch Mew. Because that was the only way I could figure. Because obviously there was no YouTube or anything like that back then when we were first playing. So just use the Game Shark, plug that in, put in the code. There you go. You got a Mew.
Oh yeah, I think I used to share yours. I used to borrow yours.
Yeah, and that was the easiest way to catch Mew, and so. I enjoyed catching Mew and raising it up, but of course, obviously, Mew is able to know any type of move because it has the genetic makeup of all the Pokemon in the game, pretty much. So that was my question. That was my little informative. Now my question is: did you guys ever glitch the game or catch Mew, whether using Game Shark or no Game Shark or whatever means? Did you ever get Mew?
I got him one time, but. I didn't really catch him. I can't remember how I got him. I forgot. I got him one time, but I didn't really the game. I think that was when I restarted.
What about you, Incog? Did you ever get Mew?
I think the only time I ever got Mew was in I think the second gen, and I used the Game Shark, which again, I don't suggest, because I have heard stories of, you know, people ruining their games because of Game Sharks. But yeah, that's how I.
Yeah, I was the same way. I got Mew through the Game Shark because, like I said, there was no YouTube and there was no way to actually get it. And it wasn't until just later on when, of course, when the internet became big, YouTube became bigger, that I was able to see that you can actually glitch the game and you can actually catch people. And I didn't know that. But as like I said, I liked Mew and I caught him. You know, I caught him. And I would use him as well. He's not as strong as Mewtwo, but he's still pretty strong. And so, so now that we're going into the going to that, because he was a pretty strong psychic Pokemon, and as you said, Incog, you and I want to give you a heads up, Mew is one of my favorite Pokemon, so it was one of the reasons why I had to use the Game Shark to catch him. And so, I know for Incog, one of your favorite Pokemon was Haunter, and so I know
there's always been one of my favorite, and also you know, the creatures that are more, I guess, more realistic would be like the Ninetales, Vulpix, Eevee, Growlithe, Ponyta, things like that. I don't know why, but those are always, you know, tend to be my more favorited.
All right, and then because since Haunter is one of your, as I said, one of your favorite Pokemon, even on your stream, you have Haunter, you know, as your theme for it. When you stream on Twitch, because of that, I know I had a hard time trying to catch him outside of Lavender Town. I don't know if what your guys' experience with Lavender Town is, but I did kind of like the music and the vibe that you would get from Lavender Town. What about you guys? What was your experience with Lavender Town? Pretty much,
I actually really enjoyed it. It was actually a lot of fun. I was like, dude. I like the music. I like the whole eerie aspect of it. That's the only place I would actually catch one.
What about you, Incog? What was your experience with the Lavender Town and, you know, the little Pokemon cemetery and stuff like that?
It was interesting, to say the least. It kind of put a more a weird spin on the mortality of Pokemon, because you know you fight these things, they faint, they experience like fireballs and all kinds of craziness, and you know they survive it. And yet, you know, here's the cemetery for the Pokemon. You're like, so these things can die? It kind of puts a little bit of a mortality into, you know, to the creatures that are running around with. As far as the town itself, I didn't really care one way or another for it. And then I want to say it was even recently, like about 4 or 5 years ago, and this is when I heard about, and I don't know if this is what you're leading on, but this is, I'm going to go ahead and bring it up, is I found out later was called the Lavender Town Syndrome. And it was, you know, it's an urban myth type of situation, but, you know, I read into it and I thought that was pretty interesting.
I was actually going to kind of lead into that. Since you brought it up, can you tell us a little bit more about it?
So the Lavender Town theory syndrome thing that they call it is basically it's referring to the music that is there whenever you play. The music, as you know, Tejido said a minute ago, is it's got an eerie feel to it. You know, you're in the only town that's ever been known to have a Pokemon graveyard, and then in the storyline itself, you know, you go there and you're fighting this haunted, you know, this ghost, which is you know, I'm pretty sure everybody here's at least heard of that this by now. It's been so many years. You know, you fight this ghost that was a Cubone's mother. It's a Marowak. Kind of completely remember what exactly the whole thing is. Basically, it's the music. If you were there for too long, or you had it going for too long, people were reporting that it caused a lot of people to have anxiety attacks. There was people having, you know, reporting senses of just an overwhelming sense of dread because of it. And there's even some people saying that, I mean, this is a bit darker, and people have harmed themselves listening to. And I'm, you know, to an extreme, and I'm not going to go as far as to explain that. I'm pretty sure listeners can figure out along those lines. It's not, you know, it's in the web. You can look it up pretty quickly. And unfortunately, because a lot of the music supposedly contained very high-pitched notes or beats that children could hear but adults couldn't. So adults weren't having issues with it, but the children were. Like, younger people were having this adverse reaction to it.
And I know from what it was mainly the original game, you know, the ones that were released in Japan, which were the blue, red, and green. Green was one of the first ones to come out, and so the reason why we didn't receive that was due to pretty much the what you're talking about, the Lavender Town Syndrome, and then on top of that, they had issues with the pictures of the Pokemon, the pixels and stuff like that. Some of them weren't coming out correctly, and so that was one of the reasons why America didn't really receive the green one until when they did like the remake of all three of them. But that was one of the issues, was the Lavender Town music, and as you said, you know, people were hurting themselves, and just basically they just weren't themselves, and it was just causing problems. And so that was one of the issues that they had to face, at least in Japan, from what I read and what I heard. I don't know if there was any cases in the United States to it, because I know once it got here, that problem was supposedly resolved. Correct me if I'm wrong, Incog. But that was something I had heard and read.
Okay, so yeah, that was the original story as to why we didn't get green. But as far as I can tell, as far as I remember reading, you know, there was no actual proof behind it at all. Like most things, it started off as an urban legend. Then once more and more people got a hold of it, the internet does what it does best. But, like, I would honestly say that it would have to be something that would need to be looked into a little bit more to actually say yes or no to.
Yeah, and that was something, like I said, I had read it. I had read and saw on YouTube as well, and that was one of the issues was that. And then there was, of course, people were you know, deciphering the text or the audio, looking at the audio wave links, and that they were saying that there was you could see like a ghost sprite inside the actual wavelength and stuff like that. It was ridiculous by the time it was all said and done. But I still think the game, that portion of the game is really good. And I think they did a good job with it. Especially when you talk to this one girl and she says that she could see a white hand on your shoulder. And you're just like, there is no white hand on my shoulder. What are you talking about? And so,
I was going to add to that, you know what? Yeah, there has been incidences where in the game in and of itself has had hidden within it, you know, moments of, you know, kind of creepiness.
And that was the one thing I liked. At least when it came to the Lavender Town, because it gave you that sense that it's not just, you know, all sunshines and rainbow. You have this one gloomy town where there's ghosts, and this is where you're going to catch ghost Pokemon. And this is where I would catch my Ghastly or my Haunters. And of course, you couldn't evolve the Haunters into a Gengar until you traded it. So there I was, you know, with the Game Boy, two Game Boys in my hand trading. Like I said, and that's how I would get my Gengars. But I still like how it was, you know, the little mazes that you had and stuff like that in order to get into the next floor and stuff like that. And it was interesting. It really was. I don't know what your guys' experience with the Pokemon Tower was. So
I don't remember that. I can't think of it.
I mean, I didn't spend much time in there. I did, like you said, I mostly went in there just to capture that, do the storyline and capture me a Ghastly.
Yeah, I mean, and that was like the best part. And then, of course, when you try to attack a ghost Pokemon, your physical attacks don't count. So you have to make sure you hit them with a special move, like either electricity, fire, water, you know, something that wasn't considered a physical attack or a normal attack. Because if you did, it just wouldn't connect. And then, if I remember correctly, in Pokemon Yellow, they had said, or was it in both games, that Team Rocket had killed the Cubone's mother, and so that was the reason why the Cubone's mother was blocking the entrance going all the way to the top. Can't remember. You guys remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. And that was, again, that was one of the more darker parts of the game itself. And I remember at caused me to really, really form a hatred for Team Rocket.
Yeah, I think everyone had that hatred when you were younger with Team Rocket, that, hey, they killed this Cubone's mother, and now all of a sudden, you know, we're the good guys, and we're trying to stop them for sure. And that was one thing I did like about the game. Like I said, it kind of brought out that these are the bad guys. They're basically just a criminal organization. You need to take them down. And so, of course, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I know when later on in other games, I actually wanted to join Team Rocket. I was like, hey, let me join Team Rocket. But of course, there's no option to join them. So it was kind of like, but at least in the first game, I did like the, you know, you had one team that basically they were just evil. They were just the mafia, basically. And then, of course, as you said, Lavender Town had that darker side to it, which kind of emphasizes the game a little bit more, I would say, because now you have this little bit darker tone to it. So now you know that these creatures can die if you don't take care of them and get them to a Poke Center or anything like that. But what was your guys' experience with Team Rocket? I know Kaijiro, you would always run into, I believe, what was it, Jesse and James with Meowth, and then you and me, Kaito, would run into Team Rocket, and it would just be just random grunts, if I remember correctly. But how was your experience with Team Rocket?
I actually really enjoyed fighting them because they were the only people that I could never lose to. For some reason, even though their Pokemon were actually quite strong, mine were a little stronger. They just interchanged.
What about you, Inkog? What was your experience with Team Rocket?
I mean, for the most part, it was pretty basic. Just, you know, I'm the good guy, they're the bad guy, and they suck. So I just kill them or make their Pokemon faint and keep moving. It was pretty basic. Just, you know, they were in my way, I moved them out of the way.
Yeah, it sounds about right. and so, pretty much, like I said, Team Rocket was in each game. They kind of differed, like I said, in Yellow you had Jesse and James, and then of course in Red and Blue it was just random grunts pretty much. Of course Giovanni was the boss, so he never changed, obviously. How was your experience with him as the final gym leader that you had to face? How was it?
That experience kind of frustrated me.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, because I had so many problems trying to beat him too. So I wanted to ask y'all how your experience with him was being as the last gym leader.
I remember I was just frustrated because I'm like wondering why he's so strong compared to the people I fought before.
I mean, it was I had a pretty generic encounter with him. It was a tough fight, but it wasn't all that frustrating. Just it had a challenge, and that was about it.
Yeah, I mean, I had that same concept with like Kaijiro and yourself, that it was a hard fight, but once you got through it, you could be like, you know what, I got all 8 badges finally, I could go to the Pokemon League. And of course, once you get to the Pokemon League and you get to the Elite Four and you get your butt kicked for the first time, you're like, I was not ready for this. And I know we touched a little bit on the Elite Four, but after we beat Giovanni, I mean, you all guys know that he dissolves Team Rocket afterwards and disappears, and not to be seen again until, again, in Gold and Silver. But if you play the originals, on the Game Boy, you didn't really know what happened to him. For once you beat him, and once you got to Elite Four, let me step back a little bit. How was your trip on Victory Road to get to the Elite Four?
I got it badly.
I can't really remember that much. I remember everything else but that. So.
Yeah, because mine didn't go so well, especially when you're getting lost inside the cave, and then you run into Moltres by pure accident. That was an experience. I'll say it that way. And I guess before I get to the Elite Four, with the legendary birds, did you guys catch them, or did you guys kind of just leave them alone?
I caught them.
I caught them, all of them.
And how were they compared to, I guess, to any other Pokemon, really?
I guess it's however you who you played with them, because I mean, when I fought them, they seemed a whole lot stronger than when I had them.
I thought that was just me. I thought it was just that when I was fighting, they were super strong, and then when I have them in my party, they're like super weak.
I'm gonna be honest. As far as the series goes in general, I feel like that's all any like triple threat legendary system they have. That's usually the story for all of them.
Okay, so pretty much it's just everyone has been having that same experience. They're super strong when you're fighting them, but when you catch them, they turn to be like super weaklings, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, that's pretty much how I've experienced it.
Okay. And so basically, we all pretty much caught the legendary. All right. So now let's go to the Elite Four. Which one would you say was the toughest Elite Four member that you guys had to face?
I guess it would be Lance, because wasn't he the last one?
Yeah, Lance was the last one, but he was technically considered the champion until you beat him, and then he tells you that your rival technically is champion, and he's just like, was, I guess, trying to leave or something.
He was the hardest one because, like, all my other...
Yeah, I always have to say Lance was the hardest one, because by the time you got to him, you're pretty much already almost out of all your full restores, out of your full revives. I mean, at that point, you're struggling to get by, if that's what you got. And that's what I would get. I would get full restores, full revives. That way my Pokemon could go back, keep fighting. And then, of course, your PPs or your power points for your moves, they would pretty much be almost gone completely. And, of course, the only way you're going to get those back is by going and recharging your Pokemon at the Poke Center, which you can't get out, because once you get in, you're locked in. So
yeah,
I would say your Lance was the hardest, but once you beat him, of course your rival would be right up there, just waiting to take you out as well.
So I'm gonna go ahead and say, aside from Lance, and of course the surprise battle at the end, I would say Koga, because of, you know, he's gonna make you go through your full heals, your poison heals, all that craziness.
Yeah, he would. Wait, Koga was in the other one.
I'm sorry, not Koga. The hell was he? He was the
fighting one?
No, the ghost lady.
Oh, okay, yeah. Agatha.
There you go, Agatha.
Ghost lady.
Because, again, I mean, just the same way, she would, you're going to go through your paralyzed hills, you're going to go through your everything. She's definitely one where you're going to want to one-shot her team, otherwise it's going to hurt.
Yeah, and that's why I would bring either a psychic Pokemon, so that way I could take all her ghost type out, and I wouldn't have to worry. But I would say Lance was probably the hardest one for me, just because he was a pain in the butt. And then how was it? I guess pretty much we all caught Mewtwo. Am I correct?
Yeah, I caught him. I used the Master Ball.
Yeah, same. But I never used them.
All right. So pretty much we all caught Mewtwo. And now I'm trying to think of what else. Did you guys do in the game? Once you guys beat it, what would y'all do? Would y'all go back and try to level up your Pokemon a little bit more, and then just go through the Elite Four, or what?
I would play a little bit longer and catch more, but then eventually I'll just restart. I really didn't see any need to. I just like playing a new game all the time.
Yeah, I got you, and I would do the exact same thing, and just try to, you know, beat the game again and see how, you know, what I could do to level up my Pokemon to be a little bit stronger, I guess. So, pretty much, I know this is... I was trying to save this topic for another one, but and I'm just going to do it for just this generation. Did you guys ever catch all 151 Pokemon, all 151 Pokemon in this game?
No.
Not even close.
I've only done it once. And the only reason why I was able to do it was due to the fact that, like I said, I had my brother's game and I had my game, and I would do concentrating back and forth, and it was pretty difficult. And of course, I had to use a Game Shark, like I said, because I didn't know how to do the glitch at the time, in order to catch Mew. And even before I caught Mew, I would go talk to the professor, and he would just say, "Congratulations, you caught all the Pokemon," and blah blah blah, you know, and that was it. But then I was like, okay, let me go catch Mew. Once I caught Mew, I could come back. I'll talk to him again. Maybe he'll tell me something different. He didn't change his tune. It was the exact same thing. "Oh, congratulations, you caught all 151 Pokemon." I'm like, seriously? I was like, "You're not gonna give me anything, you're not gonna tell me anything else other than the same thing." I was like, "This is bullcrap." I was like, "I spent all this time catching
them." I wouldn't understand what you want him to give you. You already had everything by having all the Pokemon, so.
Well, I wanted something else. I wanted like a little prize.
What could he give you that you don't already have?
You know, like something to boost their stats or something?
If your Pokemon are already strong as it is at that point, I'm wondering how.
I still wanted them for when I take on my rival, the Bug Trainer, in Viridian Forest that I skipped.
That was always fun to do, and I always felt kind of bad for doing it.
I actually fought him the first time and didn't know it. I actually realized he could skip him. I would do it all the time just to have fun. And exactly. Then eventually I just felt bad.
Yeah, I know. And that was my thing was I always try to skip him. And then when I would go back through, I would hit him. I'd be like, "Oh, you're in for a rude awakening, buddy." But that was just me.
I would always fight him with a Pokemon that could like just rest. Or not rest, just hurt whatever it was where they just... They didn't do nothing more. Actually, I would actually use I would let my Gyarados still have what move was it? The freaking Magikarp had Flash or Flop, whatever the heck it was.
Yeah, it was Splash, and then once he got to level 20, he learned Tackle.
Yeah, I always kept Splash. It was a ridiculous move to have, but I kept it that way. When I fought him, I would just make it do that over and over and over, and then finally I attack him once.
Yeah, and pretty much. Yeah. It was, and like I said, this is a game I enjoyed, and I would, like I said, I would fight, you know, Kaito, and I would lose horribly. And of course, once Pokemon Stadium came out, I would hook that up, and of course, as you know, you can like do 3 times the speed on there and just run through it. And of course, on Pokemon Stadium, you can also use your Pokemon that you have in your game to be able to fight against you know, tiers or whatever levels inside the actual game itself. And so I would try to keep certain Pokemon at certain levels due to, you know, that game. I don't know if you guys ever did that for Pokemon Stadium game.
I don't remember that.
I don't play Pokemon Stadium.
Oh, you missed out on a good game. You really did. And I enjoyed it. Is there anything that you guys want to add to this episode about the first gen and about Pokemon, other than don't catch the missing number if you want to get you know, infinite items pretty much? Of course, you know, you have to glitch the game in order to catch Mew or anything. Is there anything else you guys want to add?
Not really. I mean,
no, not really.
All of them, you know, my hat's off to you.
Well, like I said, it was hard, but... eventually caught them all, and or at least the first gen. We'll leave the other topic for another day, especially with the new games and stuff like that. But this is gonna end this episode. I want to thank y'all for being a part of this and allowing us to talk about what we do and about our experience with this game and our memories, pretty much. This, like I said, this is going to end the episode. You can always follow us on Twitter, listen to us at on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can follow Incog on Twitch or TikTok. Description will be below for his Twitch. That way you can follow him when he streams and show him some love. I want to thank Kaijudo for being here with us today and talking about his experience with the Pokemon Yellow and Red and Blue as well, and what he experienced with. You guys want to say anything else?
Love me.
Enjoyed being here.
All right, guys, I want to say thank you again for being here, and we'll see you guys next week. Like I said, you just follow us on Twitter, follow Incog on Twitter, TikTok, and Twitch, and see you guys next week. Take care.